All right, I tell you what, if you go to a good church that sings the old hymns, you get a lot of gospel and a lot of Bible truth. And we appreciate that very much. That's the way it ought to be. And thank you folks for doing that for us. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of John. We're going to John chapter 15 for a few verses to start off with here this morning. John chapter 15, we were in that in Sunday school, but we're moving on over now to the 15th chapter. We're going to begin reading in about verse 17. My title of my little subject this morning, because the tape room always needs something to put on the tape up there. I'm amazed sometimes what they do put on it. Say, I wonder who preached that. all joking aside, I want to preach to you on the subject this morning, hated but needed. I think you'll see that as we get in a little bit deeper. John 15, pick it up in verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Boy, I wish a lot of politicians could get a hold of that one. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, at Psalms 35, they hated me without a cause. Hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Well, in the context, I don't need to say much. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here that if they hated him, they're going to hate us. And I want to say to you, as believers and Christians today, if you've had some opposition, you've had some persecution, don't go sit in the corner and suck your thumb. The Lord Jesus said, expect it. And he said plainly down here that we were no better than him. He says, if the servant is not greater than the Lord. If the Lord Jesus received this sort of stuff, don't think you and I are immune to it. Don't think we're being unduly persecuted or mistreated. And the truth is, the Lord Jesus did have to undergo a lot of hate. And if you've been anywhere except a cave in the desert and had no contact, you know that Christianity has been under a hate attack and increasing all the time, everywhere you look and all the news you hear. But listen, it's the fallen nature of man to hate what's good for him. Isn't that amazing? I can prove it. You hate some of the stuff on your diet. In fact, there's a good rule to follow. If it tastes good, spit it out. Right? You know what I'm saying? We all know a lot better than we do. There's no doubt about that. But it's our fallen nature to hate what's good for us. The laws, for instance. Now, they put in a four-way stop street down here at the end of 30th Street, and I'm about to get used to it. But I see some folks that aren't yet used to it. And you know what? We rebelled about a law, but that law's for our own good. We better stop before we have a wreck. Amen? I get tired of putting on a seatbelt, and I sort of resent it that they tell me what to do. But I do know it is for my best. As a whole, I reckon it is. Kids have a hard time learning this, don't they? There's a few kids, maybe, but most kids don't like to take a bath. They don't like to go to bed on time. I remember the Waltons program, and I never saw very many of them, but I remember they would end, it would show the big house, and everybody is going to sleep and saying good night to each other. Anybody remember that? You do watch clean TV once in a while, don't you? Anyway, you remember that one? But you remember the thing that I thought was so cute is the lights are going off and everybody's saying good night to everybody. All of a sudden, the kid's voice says, I don't want to go to sleep now. No, we don't like what's good for us sometimes. That's old fallen nature. There's no doubt about it. I remember when they came to the country school I was going to give us shots. Anybody remember that stuff? Now, in that old country school, they took us out on the trees. They had some tables and they had some nurses and all. We knew they were coming, and we kids had been scared to death of that. We had made some real fearful boogers out of the fact they were going to come stick needles in us. I remember that. And I had a second cousin. He was big for his age. His name was Bobby. I remember Bobby, and Bobby was scared to death. And there was a tall tree out there in the yard, and Bobby ran and climbed that tree. And there wasn't a teacher that could get him down. I don't clearly remember how he fought. I think they called his parents and finally got him down. He was not going to take that shot. We especially had heard about the smallpox shot and how bad it was. We'd heard, and there was one or two kids that had already had one, and I got to looking at what they had, and I started pinching myself right there in that spot with my fingernail, and I made it look like maybe I'd already been shot. It's truth, God, I had my head on. And I convinced the nurse and the teacher I'd already had mine. Until one of them talked to Mama later that week. Now we all fear what's good for us. It's just human nature. We're that way. It's the old depraved part of our nature. But I want to say to you, the world today needs Christianity like never before, and they've never hated it any worse. And that's why I'm saying hated but needed. I want to say to you, as believers, as God's children, as Christianity as a whole, we are needed to preserve civilization. If you do a little history studying, you'll go back, you'll find out everywhere this book went, civilization followed. Without it, you still have heathenism. And that's still the world today. Wherever you want to look, the missionaries can tell you this story over and over. See, this Bible tells us you and I are salt and light. And we are that preserves goodness, supposed to, and light the way out of the darkness. And that's God's plan. And then we're to be salt and light. But our history is depraved. Don't think just because our ancestors came from England or Europe that we were not heathen. We were. If you'll go back, in fact, I'll tell you who wrote the book. It may be somewhere in my junk room back there. There's a book written by Winston Churchill. You know who I'm talking about, World War II in England and so forth. Winston Churchill wrote the history of the English people, where they came from, and they came from heathen tribes just like others did. And he told of the gross acts and the barbarianism and the heathenism of our ancestors. He told how that in battle it was a big thing to crush the enemy's skull and then take it and use it as a cup to drink his blood out of. Our ancestors, folks, I'm talking about. What made the difference? This. When Christ was preached, when the truth of Jesus Christ was introduced, and some believe even the Apostle Paul made it to England, I don't know. But the truth is, when the truth got in, it made a change. And there was a time that England and its civilization grew to be one of the top Christian witnesses in the world. And the saying was that the sun never set upon their empire. And it was because of England moving in. You say, well, colonialization was bad. No, it wasn't. It took the gospel around the world. And civilization follows the gospel. That's the way it works. And you can still see it everywhere today. Where it has not gone, you don't want to go. I'll tell you that. I think about the missionaries. I think about John Patton that was on the Hybrid Islands. John Patton was over there. Oh, it was an awful thing that he went into. Cannibalism. They even ate his son. You remember, Brother John ate his son. He looked for him. He was lost for a few days. His wife had already died. And here's the missionary on this heathen island with the heathen natives. And finally, he couldn't find him any further and find his son. And the chief said to John, "We're going to have a feast tonight. We want you to come." John came to the feast. They had the big pot on, brewing the soup and the stew. And they began to pass it around. And as they passed it around, the evil chieftain said to John Patton, the missionary, "Have some of your son." "Now, missionary," he said, "tell us how much your God loves us. We've boiled your son. We've cooked your son. We're eating your son tonight. Now tell us how much your God loves us." And John Patton said, "I want to tell you something. There's a difference. I didn't give you my son. I wouldn't have had this happen to my son, but God gave his only begotten son to you that you could be saved." I'm saying to you, folks, except for the Bible and the gospel and the story of Jesus Christ, this whole world was steeped into heathenism. And where the Bible goes and the gospel goes, civilization has increased. Our forefathers knew this. That's why America has had its great days, is because of our foundation that was built. You look in your dictionary and you read and you know about Daniel Webster. Daniel Webster said, "To preserve government, we must preserve morals. And morals rest on Jesus Christ." And that was what our forefathers believed. That's our foundation as a nation. The graces and the standards and the attributes of civilization that we have reaped the benefits of came because of Christianity. Amen. No other reason. In the foundation of America, if a man was a church member in good standing, he didn't hardly have to sign a paper when he went to the bank. His word was good. Honesty, grace, the social, civil virtues followed a man that became a Christian. And the nation recognized that, and society was blessed because of that. And compassion and all the things that we have today. Think about it. Anybody know what? You see one of these ambulances, you see it on TV, you see the red cross on the side of it? It's a red cross, isn't it? You see, the truth is, it represents, in its beginning, it represented the cross of Jesus Christ and the compassion that came from that and the grace and the principles that came from that. That's what it was all about. And America's lost today, and we are losing, is because our government and our leadership has turned from the moral foundation that civilized America to start with, which came from Christianity. Right now, the government's shut down, right? You hear the news? You didn't notice it this morning when you got up? The government's shut down? I tell you what, if it's really shut down, why don't some of you go this afternoon, find a store that's open and buy something and refuse to pay the taxes? Tell them the government's shut down. They don't need the taxes. Try that one. Say, "Preacher, I don't think it worked." No. Big part of it is a con. However, it's sad. It is sad when we'll shut the government down over the issue of giving amnesty to illegals that shouldn't be in America because they've already broke the law. Instead, we'll stop the paychecks from the military and the civil servants. We'll stop their paychecks. I mean, we got some rascals in Washington, D.C. That's what they are. The biggest part is the Democrats with a few Judas Republicans in there. If you don't like that, see me at the door. I brought my gun this morning. Bless God, I'll deal with you. It's truth, and I'll stand for the truth every time, whether you like it or not. I'm talking to you in radio land. Most of these folks here are here by their own free will this morning, I think. There may be a husband or two that the wife dragged in, but I think most of them are here by their own free will. Civilization that's been preserved by Christianity. And where the gospel went, civilization followed, and where it did not go, it still is in heathenism this morning. If you want to know what's wrong with the Mideast, they don't have the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what's going on over there. Exactly. You want to know why the hate in our streets right now? The women marching today over the right to kill their babies? That's heathenism. That's not Christianity. I mean, be honest with me a minute. Do you think that God is on the side of them that want to abort their babies? Somebody said the most dangerous place to be in America is in a woman's womb. That's sad, folks. I do appreciate the president going and speaking to the pro-life meeting this week. Oh, he's caught it over that. But folks, we're going to go back into heathenism. We're heading down that trail right now. And if we have any hope at all, it's to bring the truth back that brought us up to start with. And that's the Christian truth, the Bible truth, the truth about Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. I want to say to you, we're seeing a lot of hate, just like Jesus talked about right here. He was basically saying, don't be shocked if they hated me. They're going to hate you. And in fact, I'll just get right down to where the tire meets the road. It's all about hating him right now. Because if you stand on the issues that he would say is right, then you're hated by the crowd that wants to violate his law and his word. Amen. I want to say to you, we're hated, but we're needed. We're needed to preserve civilization. We're needed to prevent judgment. Hey, God, he's not dead. He knows all about it. He's feeding out the rope. He's going to pull it in one of these days, and I think very soon. I mean, you know what's preventing judgment? The salt and the light, the believers, the Bible believers, the Christians. God is saying, I'm giving them a little more time down there. Didn't he do that? Didn't he do that in Noah's day? Sin got in the saddle. But and God warned, he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Didn't he say that? And then the day come that God looked and he said, the imagination is only evil from their youth up. And he brought the judgment, the flood. He only saved Noah and his family out of it. There was a time he looked down on Sodom and Gomorrah and all that horrible, homosexual, dirty, filthy sin that it was. And there's a time he looked down there and he wanted to bring judgment, but he had to do one thing first. Go get Lot and his family out. Listen to me good. Lot, in his backslidden condition, still represents a bunch of us today that belong to the Lord. And some of you, like Lot, you're in the wrong place. But I tell you what God's going to do. He's going to snatch us out of here one day. I believe it's imminent. I believe it could happen today. And when it does, it's going to be a rough place to be left behind. A fellow said to me one time, Kevin, he said to me, you're always preaching about the rapture. I'll be glad when you Christians are gone. I said, it'll be the worst days of your life when we leave. And it will be. It will be. Yes, he could come today. But in the meantime, what's preventing his judgment from falling? God's people are still here. The Lots are still here. The Noahs are still here. Oh, it's sad that we aren't living up to what we ought to be, but some are, some aren't. But thank God, if you belong to him, even if you're backslidden, he's going to snatch you out, and some are going to be awful ashamed when they face him. But if you're really born again, I'm not talking about just joining the church. I'm not talking about just being baptized or something. I'm talking about, do you really know him? If you do, you belong to him. And even if you're not living for him, he's going to snatch you out before he drops judgment on this sinful world. No, we're still here to prevent judgment. They may hate us, but they don't know it. But they need us to prevent judgment. Oh, yes. I want to say this. We are needed to preserve civilization. We're needed to prevent the judgment. And then we're needed to present the gospel. That's what I'm doing now. I'm telling you, Jesus saves. He didn't save because he died for your sins on the cross. He shed his blood to pay a price you couldn't pay, to offer you eternal life as a gift that you couldn't buy. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? Some folks know a little bit this and that and the other, but knowing's one thing, accepting it and believing it and trusting it is something else. I read the sad story of a preacher that could get up, and this is rare. I know this is rare. But he could get up and preach to a congregation, and perhaps even folks get saved over what he said because he was preaching the word of God. But he didn't believe it in his heart. You can't get by with that very long. And he didn't get by with it very long. I know a fellow that got saved. I almost can remember his name. He was somewhat an amateur actor. And they saw in the paper where they were doing a play, and he went and tried out for the play. And the play had to do somewhat with a church and a preacher. And they gave him the part of getting up to say the lines the preacher had to say. He had lost as a goose, but he got the part. And he got up and said the lines. He had to go through with rehearsal several times and finally presented the play and did it well. But he told me... He said, that word that I was speaking off of that script, what I was saying, got in my heart and got in my soul. And he said, that's how I got saved later on. It's because God took a lost man saying his word and playing a part. But then the Holy Spirit of God drilled it in his very soul. And he got saved and did make a preacher. I preached with him one time in a meeting. And he heard my testimony and I heard his. Wonderful. It can happen that way. You can be here today as he was and others pretending, or it can really be real to you. And we're left here for a purpose. Prevent the judgment until we're called out. Until we're called out. It's gonna come when we're called out. You know, the fire fell on Sodom and Gomorrah as soon as Lot got out of there. And Jesus is coming back in judgment and in wrath. But he's going to take his bride out first. Wonderful truth. Now, I want to say to you, the sad part is that people can hear and still not accept. I say this. I'd love to see the pure gospel preached everywhere, TV, radio, everywhere. I'd love to. I know a lot of it. It's got a lot of garbage on it. It's got a lot of luggage with it, a lot of it. But if you really take the whole picture today, the bare bones truth of the gospel is going around the world like never before. Just like the Bible predicted it would in the last days. Because of the electronics, I know they're used by the devil, but they're also being used by God. Thing I told you not too long ago about Mao Zedong, the Chinese leader that wanted everybody to worship him in China when he took over and killed all those people and brought communism in. And he put out his little red book. Remember that story? Little red book about how great he was for everybody to read. Gave everybody a little red book. Trouble was they couldn't read. When he found that out, he gave them a little hand radio. And he had a program every day for them to listen to their leader. They cheated. They found other stations. They found gospel stations. And so if you go to China today, you'd be surprised how many hundreds of thousands of believers in Jesus Christ are in China today. God has his way, and the gospel makes a difference. It always has. It always will. He left us here to present the gospel. It's the power of God. Bible says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek, the power of God is in the gospel. That's why that fellow playing the acting part as a preacher got saved. Power is in the word. I've seen it happen over and over. It happened to me. It's happened to many of you out there. The word of God, couldn't get away from it. Couldn't get away from it. It's the power of God unto salvation. And a wonderful truth that it is. And our job, that's what Landmark's about. That's what these gauges on the wall's about. That's what the bus ministry's about. It's all about getting the word of God out and training people to get the word of God out. You know, it's available today. It's still available. Dictators have tried to stump it out. It's been perverted with so-called new Bibles. The devil's used every trick he could, but it's still going. It's still going, and it's going to go right on to the end. You know what the power of the gospel will do? It'll make a new creature out of you. It'll change you. Old things will pass away, the scripture says, and behold, all things become new. It'll change you. We could have testimony all over this building about people that it changed, as well as the one standing in front of you and talking to you now, and make a new creature out of you. Give you a right mind. Some of you, if you're listening in Radio Land or in this building, if you're all dirty with dope and alcohol and perversion of every kind, the world don't have an answer for you. There's no answer in another pill, but the answer is in Jesus Christ that loved you and died for you. He's the one can set you free. He's the one can give you the power to get free of that stuff that's dragging you down to hell. He's the one. He'll give you the power to have a clean mind and to have a peace of soul. Yet isn't it strange how people hate what they need the most? Hate what they need the most. I think about this. I was probably 20 years old. I didn't get saved till I was 22. I had a good friend. He's dead. I went to his funeral not long ago. I believe he was saved, but he was backslidden. He and I butted around. We drove our fast cars and all that stuff we were doing in those days. We're good buddies. One day we stopped at a service station right here in town. I could take you. It's tore down now, but I could take you to the spot. And as we pulled the car up to the gas pump and started to go in the building, there was other people around. And I saw him dodge and start to hide and get back down a little bit behind the car. And I said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "That guy in there, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him." I said, "What's he done to you? What's the matter? He's just a man." What? He said, "That's my preacher." I said, "What?" He said, "Well, that's the preacher at Mom and Dad's church." See, he'd been raised in that church, but he hadn't been in it in a long time. And he saw the preacher, and he didn't want the preacher to see him. Now, I was unsaved, and I didn't know. I said, "Oh, I'll keep him off of you. Come on." He said, No. So let's get out of here." See, that preacher had what he needed, but what he was hating at the moment, he didn't want to see him. He was running from him. Now, I want to tell you something. I didn't understand that then. But after I've been in the ministry this long, I understand it real good. Real good. I've had folks run from me. I've knocked on the door and had somebody invite me in and somebody else jump out of the room and go lock up in the bedroom. I've had them go lock up in the bathroom. I even had one, I can take you to the place, run out the back door and lock up in a tool shed. Truth of God, my hand on the Bible. So you must be bad. No, it's what I represent. What I represent. Got the answer for that guy. But he hates it, though he needs it. Wonder if there's anybody like that today. But I just hate to come to church. You ever ask yourself why? Do you ever ask yourself what you need? What you need is probably being talked about right now in this church. And yet the devil wants you to hate the very thing that could be your cure, could be your victory, could make a winner out of you instead of a loser. Yes, that's what I'm talking to you about. Sad part is that you want to hide from him. Now, when you get over the back of the Bible, you get over the book of Revelation, you get over to about the end of chapter 6, you'll read words like this. The Lord Jesus is coming back from heaven, leading the armies of heaven, fixed to take over his kingdom on earth. And the last verses of Revelation chapter 6 will say something like this. They'll go to the rocks and mountains and cry for them to fall on them. I'm talking about human beings. I'm talking about mankind. I'm talking about masses of humanity. asking the mountains to fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Hide from the face of God. God is what you need. He's what you need. Don't hate it. Don't hide from it. He's the answer. He's the answer. I challenge you this morning to come to the answer, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ that loved you and died for you. You can come in this building with all the luggage you brought in, habits, sins, and you can leave this building feeling free. You might have come in as a loser, but you can leave as a winner if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, I tell you what, the world's trying to hide from him, but they can't hide. They can't hide. The world's on record. Sister Thomas gave me a couple of articles out of the paper this morning about atheists writing in the paper, hating things of God. Oh, how that's going to flip. How the shoe's going to be on the other foot very soon. Very soon. How about you, though? How about you? Do you personally know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You can know him this morning. We're going to sing a verse. We're going to ask you to come and receive Christ, just like I did and like all these people around you did. You can do that this morning. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads and let's stand quietly. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we know the answer. We've experienced the answer. We found the answer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, there was a time I would have been on the other side of the fence. I hated to go to church. I hated somebody telling me I was wrong. But I thank you, Father, that I did hear the gospel that made me a new creature and receive the Lord Jesus Christ that gives me the assurance of heaven and a peace in my heart till I get there. I pray for the invitation now for that man or woman that's unsaved that needs to come. I pray for that one that needs to make a decision, whatever it is this morning, but especially if they're unsaved. Bless the invitation now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step down to the front. Will you meet me here? Maybe you need to come to the altar or come for some other reason, but will you come receive Jesus this morning? Will you meet me right here? Will you come as I sing? John.